you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our vision is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ.
Hey guys, here we are again. Part two, walking out of shame into honor. And what does it look like in the practical, day-to-day, moment-to-moment, event-to-event, right? Sometimes it's an event that happens. It seems like a huge event happens when a moment happens with shame. So, you know, last time we discussed several things. What is shame? We talked about how it kind of speaks to us and our connection. We talked about Adam and Eve in the garden and what originally started shame, where it came from and why, to bring the disconnection really to our Father, to break who we really are. So why? We don't walk in the true authority of really what the blood of Jesus did for us. So, you know, we had some great discussions with Marcy and Melissa on the last one, talking about how guilt attaches to the act and shame attaches to the person. And really the feelings of shame that drive us to destructive, unhelpful, self-limiting behaviors, even perfectionism, right? Shame just like, I kind of be good enough. I got to do good enough. It's always it's a self-preservation to get the approval of man. And how do we walk this out? And how do we break the power of that? It's really driven by an inability to perform. And religion, you know, is huge on performance. We talked about that in the last session. We talked about how religion is by works and you are good because you do good and you are not good because you do bad. And that you'll never be good enough. And who do you think you are? Having the mind of Christ and not just having, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Really having no longer anymore the destructive behavior of shame, and that it leads us into fear. It can lead us into many different avenues of disbelief and dishonor of who we really are in the identity of body of Christ. And we live limited. We really live limited in doubt and unbelief, and we just never reach the highest potential of who God is calling us up into a high upward calling. You know, the Bible says, come up into your upward calling. And so I'm going to invite Melissa Norris, who is a main team member on the Sanctioned Love team. The Lord gives her these most poignant, amazing prophetic poems. They're not like a written word as you would hear, like maybe a spoken word. But what I love about Melissa's poems are that they come from a generation that meets all generation and all languages. They come with the depth of wisdom and sound for this hour that I'm probably biased, but I believe it's true that many have not heard this kind of a sound in the earth. So I'm really honored to have you hear one of her most beautiful, heartfelt, straight out of the river of God, freedom poems for you. And it's really about shame. So Melissa, bless us with the shame game.
Okay. Shame is an emotion. Its purpose is to pour the polluted waters of self over the blood atonement of Jesus. Shame is a voice that screams at the who I am not, while all the while my Heavenly Father is telling me of the who I am in Christ. Shame tries to sneak in and rob me of the free fruits of the Holy Spirit. But the word in Galatians 5 says that fruits are without measure. Shame says to my heart, Melissa, I blame you. You're just not smart enough, strong enough, fit enough, pretty enough, let alone spiritual enough. But Daddy God says to me, my love, my child, don't let Satan talk to you that way. For I am the creator of who you are in me. I am your identity. Shame has a forked tongue of blame, of guilt, of doubt, of self-hatred, stabbing you always in the back. But truth says in Psalm 73, my mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength. He is all I need. Shame is a cloak, long and black. It's heavy, but it brings no warmth. Dark, with a camouflage pattern that's stitched specifically to increase your isolation and binds you at the knee for a sad solitude. Where do you think you're going? Satan says. Don't you remember the nowhere? I mean, really, guys, let's call the enemy's bluff. Let's call his bluff here and sing. Let us sing back with the voice of triumph. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green pastures, and he leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the paths of righteousness, just as he has promised. Shame is a game of warfare that the enemy is always trying to play, because he knows that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This game of doubt and self-hatred causes your cup of love to be half empty. And thus, it makes it harder for you to win the hand of love, because its original purpose is to quench your liberties and the efforts of loving others and yourself. Oh, how I hate this shame game, this blame game, this doubt game. When you think that the enemy is after you, you're completely right. But when one truly realizes that the enemy is really after the Jesus in us, then we become strong. Then we stand up with our armor on. For me, the shame game took a turn when I heard my father say, Melissa, run to the fruit bowl and sit with the supply of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For these fruits are free. They will never run out. They are spirit. They are clean. And they are ready to eat. So eat, Melissa. Eat as much as you can. You could never eat too much. I have always loved this verse. I have always sought for the growth and revelation of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But this was different. For Father was saying to me, feed them to yourself, Melissa. Think about it. They are not just for the viewing or just for the giving away to the body of Christ. They are also for you to be eating. And that's when I saw the bounty, the liberty of their preparation, the safety in their shape. I mean, have you ever taken the luscious melon of love and bitten into the sweet center of its healing? Have you found the plum of peace and cracked it open so you could squeeze its juice over your own soul? Have you looked at the cranberries of kindness lately so that you could put their red roundness into your mouth as an act of kindness to yourself? Have you sucked on a grape of gentleness just for the purpose of letting its juice run into the belly of life? Has the pomegranate of joy exploded in your hands at the popping open of its fear so that you could dig out those amazing nuggets of joy? This is not a selfish act. This is not an act of greed that would be for the verse above. The verse above where the descriptions of the flesh are read. But really, one might say, I just couldn't. But friend, how could we ever have too much love fruit, too much joy fruit, or too much peace fruit? If this liberty, this gift be true, then run. Run to the fruit bowl with me. Let's sit there instead. Let's stand the enemy up at his own poker table. Let's not play his game of lies, for all the cards he deals are spades of shame. I'm asking you, friend, to advocate for yourself, and let's call him a liar together. And then let us not even stop there, but together let us sit at our Father's banquet table with the liberties that he has given to us and show the whole world the juices of his Holy Spirit's provision. Let the world see how the fruit of God spills out of our mouths and that it's glimmering with the decorations of God's love, of the love of ourselves, the love of others, the love of the neighbor.
Powerful. It's so powerful. It's almost like you have to pause in this moment and really let the absorption of the flavors of freedom, of all that fruit, have its perfect work of in your digestive system. It really reminds me of Isaiah 61, verse 7, that says, instead of your shame, you're going to receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you're going to rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. An everlasting joy will be yours. What I love about hearing that from you, Melissa, is that I know you for 30 years. And these poems and descriptions have come out of a journey in your own life that we continue to walk out, we continue to walk in, and we continue to fight for it. But the recognition of that confession of your faith is true fruit.
Yes.
It's the evidence of the anointing that is on our life when we give a testimony of life. That in an expression of freedom. And I love earlier we were having a discussion here about confession and the power of the testimony upon our lips, right?
Right.
And that poem, the fruit that comes in a bowl of really tasting and seeing that the Lord is good,
yeah,
comes because you have to confess out of your mouth and believe that Jesus is Lord, not just a savior, but he's Lord, right?
Right. I think it's a really good point because again, if our enemy is the king of all liars, and he's always working the angle of guilt, of shame, and keeping us disconnected from God, I just can't go any further without bringing up this thought that has come through our discussion together today. And that is how the enemy actually wants to rob what Jesus actually gave us. Mm-hmm. Jesus, one of his main declarations is to confess your sins. And so that's such an important process, because that's when we take a struggle, you know, whether it came through a circumstance or our own attitude as we're learning to grow in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, or we have, you know, a violation that's caused a great disappointment. It be whatever the circumstance is, the enemy's always trying to get us to run to the self portion, and the Lord's always trying to get us to run to the spirit portion. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely. The confession, yes. Yes. Confessing our having confession in our lives of issues that we have, because we are man, mm-hmm. and we will never be perfect enough. Enemy wants to rob us of that opportunity to come and before our Father God with confession. Confession, I believe, is healthy. We have a perspective of what confession means, or a doctrinal perspective of what confession means. But Jesus says to come and confess your sins. And that is a running to, and that is a healing place. It's not a naughty person place. It's a connection, like you were saying. It's the connecting place of intimacy. Mm-hmm. It's the trust place that God loves you so much that as you confess to him, that he will bring a healing.
It's really about the weight. You know, you're talking about the running to the things of the self, or running to the things of God. Mm-hmm. So when we are burdened with all of that stuff, the lack of having confessed, we've got the weight of some piece of candy we stole out of a grocery store when we were 7 and never mm-hmm. told anybody, and it's just lingering there. When we have the weight, and we're going to be actually talking a lot about mm-hmm. what weights us down in our race. But I just, when you were talking about that, Melissa, I saw somebody so weighted down, they were trying to get to the fruit bowl, mm-hmm. and the process was so hard. And with a confession, the weight drops, and you can get to that fruit bowl.
Right.
Is so accessible and so quickly can be assessed. And so
he is faithful to forgive you yes. your sin. Yes. I mean, it's yeah. really can be done in a moment, yes. right? Yeah. And we really get robbed if you confess, right. then.
But I think, don't you guys true. Think that something that is a lie is, and this is where I would say pride hides shame, is that often we think, well, I've been in this gig a long time. I don't want to be perceived as weak.
Yes.
And I think that we think, I should know this. I should be beyond this. I should do this better. We, you know, I don't know hardly any people, or in, at least in our sphere of influence, that haven't said, well, I don't want to be perceived as weak. I should. And the shoulds are usually attached to shame. Mm-hmm. And it's really attached to pride, saying that if I confess, mm-hmm. if I'm really that vulnerable, that when I'm weak, we don't know the strength of God, because when we're weak, he's strong.
Right.
So it really, for me, it's like, Lord, help me in my unbelief, or reveal pride and arrogance where I might feel like, oh, I know this. I should be healed by now. Mm-hmm. I should walk and victory in this area. I should be way ahead of the game. I've been doing this a long time, or maybe I just started doing this. And we put these false expectations sometimes and say, I don't ever want to let anybody see me sweat. Mm-hmm. You know, so we just put up this wall of pride, and really it's covering up shame underneath, because we can't risk the factor of being that vulnerable. Because if we confess, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a sin.
Right.
We can just be authentic. And what brings that? Safety. Mm-hmm. To feel safety amongst your people. You got to have people that are around you that really will guard your heart, listen to your heart, but yet challenge you and not feed your flesh.
You know, the weight of things that, of sin. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking about my daughter who is a trainer. And, you know, I'm wondering what kind of muscle we're building when we keep carrying those things. And I'm just wondering about that. If we're carrying shame and we're carrying anger or whatever it would be, what is being strengthened right there? What is that weight strengthening? Well, we certainly know it won't be strengthening our spiritual muscle. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, just a thought.
Marcy, why don't you take us in as we close this session too? Why don't you take us into a place with the Father and invite people that are listening to have an exchange of some confession?
What an opportunity for us to respond to our Heavenly Father and to a Savior who will be jumping and is jumping and applauding and over us. And we have a moment here. We can, wherever we are in your walk, if you are just beginning, if you've been doing this deal for 50 years, there's always a place to take on more of the freedom of Christ and to leave the lies of the enemy in the dust. We have an opportunity here to thwart any weight of the enemy in our lives. Wherever you are right now, in your car, in your kitchen, in your living room, let's just take a moment and ask our God, and if ask your Jesus, ask Holy Spirit, whoever is your go-to person when you pray or talk to the Godhead. Let's take a moment and ask them. Father, if there is a confession, if there is a weight that is holding me back from more of your freedom, could you please tell me that right now? Now, some of you may see something. Some of you may hear or have an impression. I would even be as brave to say that you may even hear a word come through a radio. But the Father is for you, so who can be against you? Trust that place of the revealing. What would you like for me to confess or unload today, Father? Now, as you get that in your mind, ask your Father or Jesus or Holy Spirit this question. Father, if I give you this, whatever struggle it is, whatever weight it is, I'm just going to use shame right here. We've been talking a lot about shame. So Father, if I give you my shame over maybe a past marriage, the way you raised a child, whatever. If I give you this shame, what will you give me in return? And wait. What do you see? What do you sense? What do you hear? God always trades up. That's his DNA. This is something that you can make a practice of. Really, it's going to the scripture of search my heart, O God. It's just a way to apply that scripture. Show me if there's any wicked way. And I would say a wicked way also can throw a wrong light, but it's any way that would keep me from you, that would add space between or in our relationship. Practice these things. Not all of us have been comfortable with talking to God that way, but I just literally can see heaven leaning forward, inclining their ear to hear the confessions that the enemy has tried to hide and to trade them, exchange them for the freedoms that Jesus paid a great price for.
Thank you, Marcy. So today, as we have pondered some very deep and hopefully free giving pathways into liberty, may you choose victory today. May you choose light today. May you choose the liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. May you acknowledge over your life that you are worth something more. Choose life this day. Choose it in the abundance. Choose Him. Choose to come out of hiding. And choose to walk in the abundance of the rain of heaven. We love you, all of us at Sanction Love. We bless you in the spirit of truth. And we ask for the anointing to fall on you right now.
Yes.
To destroy any yoke of burden or bondage or deceptiveness or lie of the enemy that has been speaking to your heart. We thank you, Father, that the anointing is destroying yokes and removing burdens. And thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is much abundant, a bountiful supply.
Amen.
Of liberty.
Yes.
And truth. So we bless you. Thank you for listening today.
And we love you.
Thank you. We love you. Mm-hmm. May the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the truth that we are becoming more aware of day by day, set us free.
Mm-hmm.
See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. For more information about Sanctioned Love, or if you'd like to give, visit our website at www.sanctionedlove.com and follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We love you and God bless.